Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Thank you. You may be seated just for a moment. Morning, everybody. I'd like to just say congratulations to Edenvale on opening today. When I saw the pictures of how far they'd come a few weeks ago, I thought, oh my word, Pastor Byron, you have lost the plot. I know from experience at my age, things always take longer than you think they will, always cost more than you budgeted for, and it's always harder than you imagined. I think this is what happened at Edenvale. But having said that, they got it together. I ate humble pie and said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know how you got this together. A couple of all-nighters and all of that. But congratulations to Edenvale. And we are missing them today. Give them a big shout out and thank God for them. Lovely to know that they are moving forward with what God has for them. Doesn't mean you need to go there. Only on the 24th of January, when they have the official opening, are we allowed to go there. Okay? Got it? Okay. This video clip we've just seen now was actually quite powerful. I watched it quite a few times during the week, and I was really, really moved. I want to thank the tech team, and I don't know who puts these videos together, but God knows. And I just want to say this. You do a fantastic job. And what happens is we come and we sit here and we just watch this minute or 2 minutes of video clip, and we move along. But today, I'd like for us to just dwell on the words of this video clip. They are profound. And I'm going to use it as a prayer, so almost like a Catholic church, I'm going to ask you to stand up again. And I'm going to pray this video clip. I'm going to personalize it, and I hope you do too. So let's go with this. He was born to love the hopeless and rejected. That was me. Born to heal the hurting and the broken. That was me. Born to forgive and cleanse all unrighteousness, including mine. Born to suffer and die, taking the sins of the world to the grave, including mine. Born to rise, defeating sin and death. For me. Born to restore creation to the Creator. Amen to that. Born to redeem a lost world of which I was a part. Born to save all who call upon His name. I thank God I did that 46 years ago. Born to reign forever. Amen. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our Christian theme, or our Christmas theme, yes, our Christian theme as well, but our Christmas theme is for 2024 is born for this. These are the things Jesus was born for. And we thank God for that. He came as a baby. For you and for me. He didn't stay a baby. A helpless little child in a crib. So what we've tried to do this season is we've settled on four topics over the 4 weeks. Love, hope, light, and peace. So let's get started. How many of you have ever watched a beauty pageant? No, you don't have to answer. I've watched a couple, but I don't enjoy watching them. And I'll tell you why. Because all these contestants are beautiful, tall, skinny, flowing hair, all of those things that I'm not. Even when I was young and thin and beautiful, I never looked like that. So watching a beauty contestant wasn't particularly what I enjoyed doing. However, during the course of a beauty contest, you'll know that towards the end, the judges will ask the contestant a couple of questions. And those questions tend to help the judges decide on who the winner is. And one of the most popular questions, with one of the most popular answers, is this. The judge would say, "What does the world need now?" And the contestant would answer, it's an off-pat thing, it's a cliche. "World peace." Am I right? Have you ever heard that? World peace. Well, I'm not quite sure how these contestants would add to world peace. I'm not sure what they're going to do to contribute world peace. That's what the world needs. But even my personal life, my personal ways, my personal influence cannot bring about world peace. Yes, it's what the world needs, but I can't do this. Yeah. Neither could they. Yeah. And yet it wins them the competition. And right now, I just want to ask this question. How do we find peace? How do we live peace? How do we conjure up peace? What do we do to be peaceful in a world that's not peaceful? How is it that we can live going to bed at night and sleeping like a baby and not worrying about what tomorrow brings because we're at peace? How do we do that? How does that happen for us? How do we manufacture peace? Well, the thing is this, we can't. Do you ever remember the first time you were worried or anxious or had a knot in your stomach? Think back. When was the first time? Because it becomes a way of life afterwards. You know, you just sort of get that same. I had a member of my family, will not name it, when she didn't have something to worry about, she worried. Pastor Steve will tell you who she is. You can ask him afterwards. But I remember when, as a young girl of 6 years of age, I remember the first time I really, really worried. So much so, I had a knot in my stomach. How many of you have ever felt that? You know, like a knot in your stomach. It's like, let me give you the story. It was Christmas. It was close to Christmas. It was school holidays. It was hot. And I really, really, really felt like an ice cream. Luxuries in those days were few and far between. Ice cream was reserved for Christmas or maybe a special occasion, not even a birthday. I remember my first birthday party when I was 50, 50. So I never got even an ice cream on my birthday because that didn't happen. Anyway, I felt like this ice cream. So I conjured up a plan. My granny Rosie lived around the corner from us. She was a sweet, sweet lady. Shorter than me, even rounder than me, and she stood for no nonsense. She was really cute. I have no other word. She was cute. Anyway, I went around the corner. I said, Granny Rosie, I need help. She said, "What is it?" I said, "I'm really hungry and there's no bread in the house. Could you give me some money to go buy bread?" She looked at me with a strange look on her face, didn't say a word, opened up her very grubby purse, took out some coins and gave me the money. immediately I started walking towards the shop to buy that corner shop. You know that corner shop? Everybody had a corner shop. We never have a mall, or we never had a Checkers 6060, or we didn't have that, but every little neighborhood had a corner shop. It was as dirty as anything, but anyway, I went to the corner shop and I bought this ice cream. It was one of those long popsicle ones, you know, long, tall ice cream, and it always had a small little stick, so it was very difficult to carry. Anyway, I knew this was going to be trouble. I knew. I walked home, the joy of this ice cream was lost. I had this knot in my stomach because I knew I was in big trouble. That night, my mom came home. My gran was in our kitchen, sitting around the kitchen table. You know, those years we all had a kitchen table. We didn't have a counter or a bar area. We had a kitchen table. And she was sitting there, arms crossed, with this thunderous look on her face. No greetings, no hello, no nothing, as my mom walked in. How dare you go to work and leave my grandchildren at home hungry with no bread and no money? Now, you know how Princess Kate reprimands the three royal children. She gets down to their eye level, looks them eyeball to eyeball, cups their beautiful little faces in her hands, and my guess would be that she says to them, "Think about what you've done today." That didn't happen for me. And back in the day, I had no rights. There was no constitutional right that would save me, and I could run to some cop shop and say, "Listen, I've been abused." There was nowhere to run. There was nowhere to hide. I'll never forget the day. Good came out of it, though. Till this day, I won't say I've never told a lie, but I'm very reluctant to tell a lie. Those scorching burns on my bum reminded me. Anyway, that was the first time I felt anxious, with a knot in my stomach and no peace. The ice cream melted, I didn't eat it. Wasn't worth it. I would rather have had the bread. According to Bible Gateway, there are at least 530 Bible verses that mention the word peace, because this is what I'm going to speak about. If you look on our display, love, light, peace, and hope, and I'm speaking on peace. And the scriptures on peace that I chose, you'll see the scripture references on the screen. I'll read a few to you so that you get the idea. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." And I'll add, knots in your stomach. "But take heart, I have overcome the world. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace. Pursue it," scripture continues. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." With so many promises of peace in the Bible, why is it then that the world is anything but peaceful? Now, I can say this, according to prophecy that's unfolding before our very eyes, I believe we're living in the end times. No need to panic. Our forefathers told us this 40, 50 years ago. But But I still believe we are living in the end times. You might say, well, how do you know? Well, I don't profess to know everything, but the Bible does. So according to prophecy, we're not living in a peaceful world. And here are some Bible prophecies about the last days. And the scriptures say there will be wars and rumors of wars. Check. Famines and people worried about food security. Check. Devastating earthquakes. Check. Epidemics of terrible diseases. Check. Increased crime and lawlessness. Check. Harming of the environment. Check. Breakdown of the family unit. Check. People becoming lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of money. People becoming lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Check. False teachers who will rise up to lead people astray. Check. Scoffers and agnostics that will ridicule God's word. Check. Sound familiar? Does that sound like the world we're living in? Yep. True. True story, this. If you'd like, take a photo of the relevant scriptures and go and look them up yourself if you don't believe what I'm saying, but this is what the word of God is saying. Don't take my word for it. Okay, so enough about the doom and gloom. Let's turn our attention to what God says about how we can cope. How is it that we can live peacefully in a world that's anything but peaceful? Let's look to God for God's solutions. Now, there are two words I'd like you to remember forever. You might not remember me. Some of you might not even know who I am. That's fine. You might not, in time to come, remember this whole sermon. That's also fine. Unless, of course, you're taking notes. However, there are two words that can change your life forever according to the word of God. And these two words will give you the peace that you need and I need. And those two words are anything and everything. Two words that encourage us in such a way that we will have that kind of peace. Don't you just love the word of God? Nothing is complicated. It's never complicated. It's never difficult to understand. I mean, listen, even I can understand this. Anything and everything. So let's look at how it's backed up in Scripture, Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7. Scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends or which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. I'm going to respectfully ask, please, if you don't mind, can we stop walking around, getting up and down, going to the bathroom? If you need to go, please go now, and then come back and just settle down. It's very, very distracting to try and bring across the word of God with what's going on around the auditorium. So I appreciate that. Of course, if you need to go, you need to go, but maybe you don't, and maybe you're just bored. I don't know. Okay. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, in other words, your mind will not understand it. You see, the peace that we receive at a time like that does not take away the circumstances. I can't stop world famine. I can't stop earthquakes. So that you and I can have peace. But we can have peace in our spirit. We can have peace in our heart. We can have peace in our mind. We can have peace with the things that we're not in control of. Does this make sense? Okay, great. So let's go back to this. Do not worry about. Pray about. One more time louder. Do not worry about. Pray about. Amen. Interesting point. At the beginning of this scripture, the Apostle Paul says we are to rejoice. What? Rejoice. Does he know my circumstances? Did he understand? Does he understand where I'm coming from? Does he know my hurt and my trials and my tribulations and my difficulties and my worries and my the things that are going through my head? And for you, it might be something else. It could be a divorce. It could be children are going astray. It could be sickness. It could be all sorts of things. And Paul says, rejoice. And because he knows we're not going to get it first time round, he says it again. And he says, and again, again. Get this, people. Again, I say, rejoice. Isn't it just a wonderful thing that we're encouraged this way? The secret: we're not called to rejoice in our circumstances. We are called to rejoice in the Lord. You see, regardless of our circumstances, we can pray, we can give thanks, we can rejoice in the Lord, we can come to church, we can worship. Regardless of how I feel, regardless of how worried I am, regardless of the knot in my stomach, regardless of what's facing me when my mother gets home, all of these things is irrelevant. They are irrelevant. We can still rejoice in the Lord. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. Now, the reality is this. Many people find it difficult to pray, especially in circumstances that are not helping, especially when there's trials and difficulties and fears. Many people find it difficult to pray. So let me give you a key on how it is you would pray or you will pray regardless of the circumstance. And I'm going to turn to the Word of God for this, because nothing I say carries weight. The Word of God carries weight. So let me give you what the Word of God says about this. Approximately 600 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah the prophet predicted this. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, he says, "For unto us," one of my favorite scriptures, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Amen. So we don't need to look for peace. We need to know and look for the Prince of Peace. He's the one who'll give us peace. His name is Jesus. When we seek Jesus, all else becomes insignificant. Because knowing Jesus, now listen, we have served God for 46 years. I have never, Pastor Steve can vouch for this, I have never known Jesus not to come through for us. I'm not saying we didn't have trials and tribulations, and I'll tell you why. It's because right way back in the day, close to 50 years ago, we pressed in and sought and got to know the Prince of Peace. He was born for us. Let's look at that scripture. Who is this child born? His name is Jesus. Who was the son given? Jesus. Who's the one that has the governments upon his shoulders? Jesus. Whose name is called Wonderful? Jesus. Whose name is Counselor? Jesus. Mighty God, Jesus. And now the punchline. He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is his name. The Prince of Peace. This is the cog in the wheel. This is the secret to peace. This is the thing that holds us together. This is the thing that saves me from losing hope. Because we're living in a world that is anything but peaceful. But I thank God that I can look to him, and with anything and everything, by prayer and petition, I can request my prayers to God with thanksgiving. And he will give me the peace that passes all understanding. I will not understand it, but I'll have the peace. Once we know this, anything and everything is possible. Anything and everything is possible. If you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, I don't really know the Prince of Peace. I still suffer from anxiety. I still suffer from hurt. I still suffer from worry. I don't know where my next meal's going to come from. I don't know what's going to happen after we're divorced. I've never really known the love of Jesus. I've never really experienced his perfect peace. Peace despite my difficult circumstances. But today, you want to change all of that. As I did 46 years ago. In other words, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now is the time. Today is the day. Don't leave here with that knot in your stomach. Before you leave here, make sure that you know the Prince of Peace. And there's only one way you can know the Prince of Peace, and that's to invite him into your life. And then take a journey, a faith journey of knowing him and trusting him more and more. And you will find your life change for the good, for the better, and forever. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. I'm going to pray in a few minutes. But I'm going to ask those of you who would like to commit your lives to Christ to raise your hand. I'll count to three and then I'll ask you to raise your hand. I'll acknowledge your hand, and when I've seen your hand, you can put it down. It helps me to know who to pray for, and it's an indication from you to God that you mean business with him. And then you can go on the journey of faith. And to make you feel more comfortable, I'm going to ask the congregation to join us in this prayer, so we all pray together, repeating after me. All good with that? Okay, let's go with this. You want to give your life to Jesus. Today's the day. You need to know the Prince of Peace. I'm going to ask you at the count of three to raise your hand. One, two, three. Amen. I see your hand, and I see your hand at the back. I see your hand at the back. And I see your hand. Praise God. Thank you. You may put it down. I see your hand. And I see your hand, young man. Bless you. My daughter, Pastor Candace, committed her life to Christ when she was 4 years old. It's never too early. I see your hand. Praise God. You can put it down. And I see your hand here in the front. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. I've seen you. God has seen you. One last call. Is there anybody else before we pray together? Is there anybody else before we pray together? Today is the day. This is the day of your salvation. We all need a Savior. Is there one last person? You're welcome to raise your hand. I see your hand. Bless you. Let's pray together. Just pray your best prayer from your heart. Father God, I need to hear you. Father God, repeat after me. Thank you for sending Jesus to the earth. He was born to die for me. Jesus, thank you that you came to set us free from sin and death. Forgive me of my sins. I want to know the Prince of Peace today. I want to invite you, Lord Jesus, into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I will serve you as best as I know how from today. Amen. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, I'll end with this again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen. Praise God. Bless you all.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.